is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
We are living in a material world, and we have a material girl, Madonna. She is giving parenting advice these days, and Madonna is telling parents everywhere, you need to crack down, become a disciplinarian, you make sure these children are picking up their clothes, and she's going to be the one to tell you how to do it. Now, let me just tell you right now, if you are listening to Madonna for parenting advice, don't blame me when your teenage son is wearing spiked bras and dancing around in stiletto heels. This is not the kind of person who ought to be telling people how to raise children or to do anything else for that matter. But I can guarantee you there are people who are going to listen to Madonna because she is speaking from experience about how to raise children. As a matter of fact, right now in our churches, we have people sitting at home watching Dr. Phil McGraw. They're watching Oprah Winfrey. They're listening to radiotherapists trying to decide how to make decisions and how to live life. What I want to talk about today is how in the church should we counsel one another? How should we do one-on-one ministry in terms of directing one another as to how we ought to apply Scripture to our own daily lives and decision-making processes? Should we just say, go see a psychiatrist, go see a psychologist, go and talk about it for a little while? Or should we direct people directly and forcefully and lovingly to the Word of God? We're going to be talking about that today, and I want to hear from you. How in your churches are you counseling one another? How are you making sure that counseling and direction is not something that you're just giving over to the rest of the world, but you're doing it in the church? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, or maybe you want to call and say, hey, it's none of your business what I do. It's none of the church's business how I make decisions. I just go and talk to my psychiatrist, and he or she tells me what to do, or I listen to a radio shrink, and I'm able to make my decisions that way. I want to talk to you, too. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Before we get to that discussion, there's a lot of news today. On the top of that is Harriet Myers. President has withdrawn her name. Actually, she's withdrawn herself from consideration to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, and that is all of the buzz around Washington, D.C. today. Some people are saying it's the fault of religious conservatives that she was not accepted, that she was not brought before the Judiciary Committee. As a matter of fact, Harry Reid, Senator from Nevada, Senate Minority Leader, he had this to say today about the Harriet Myers withdrawal.
I believe without any question when the history books are written about all this, that it will show that the radical right wing of the Republican Party drove this woman's nomination right out of town. Apparently, Ms. Myers didn't satisfy those who want to pack the Supreme Court with rigid ideologies. The only voices heard in this process were the far right. She wasn't even given a chance to speak for herself before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Her credentials, which are excellent, weren't good enough for the right wing. They wanted a nominee with a proven record of supporting their skewed goals.
So now, Harriet Myers, of all people, is a liberal martyr. That just isn't going to go, people. I mean, the very fact that Harry Reid and the other Democrats in the Senate really didn't say a thing through the whole process, which I don't blame them. I wouldn't have either. They just kind of sat back and let Republicans have the conversation among themselves. But now it's an opportunity to use this for some kind of political gain. Notice what Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat from New York, had to say about this as well.
I think something is shown here today. Not a single Republican senator called for Harriet Myers' withdrawal. It was the very extreme wing of the president's party, and that brought about the withdrawal. If the president continues to listen to that extreme wing on judicial nominations or everything else, it can only spell trouble for his presidency and for America.
Now, if whatever you think about Harriet Myers, whatever you think about her nomination, whatever you think about how this went, We need to realize this is an important matter, and that's why everyone is so worked up about this right now, because whoever is appointed and confirmed to the Supreme Court is going to be there for life and making decisions that have to do with your everyday life, whether or not you get to keep your property, whether or not children are going to be allowed to be born, what the definition of marriage is. All of these things are coming before the court, and that's why it's so very important. What I want us to do today is not to necessarily stand around and crow if you were anti-Harriet Myers, or to stand around and weep if you were pro-Harriet Myers. I think instead what we ought to be doing is praying. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and says, pray for kings and all those who are in authority, and that is specifically so that you, the church, can live lives of quietness and dignity. We need to be praying for a Supreme Court justice who will interpret the Constitution in a way that will enable the church to freely and with conviction preach the gospel. That's what we need to be praying for. And I think that today, as all the talking heads are talking about Harriet Myers, we in our homes need to be on our knees praying, God, give us the freedom that we need to continue to carry out the Great Commission, to continue to disciple people in our churches, to continue to call people to faith in Christ, to continue to preach the whole counsel of God. And that's what ultimately many of these discussions are all about. Most of you know Chicago is in joy right now as the White Sox won the World Series. Newspaper reports say there haven't been any violent rioting going on in Chicago. It's simply been a bunch of people celebrating the fact that this longtime curse is now over with. So some of you are celebrating, some of you are not. All of us, though, are kind of shocked and kind of depressed again as we look at the Middle East. Right now, you have, just within the last hour, you have an Israeli airstrike against an Islamic Jihad member. This is what Ariel Sharon promised would happen. He is going to retaliate against terrorists, and that is what is going on, at the same time that an Iranian leader is saying what we really need to do is to wipe Israel off the map. I really don't know why it's so shocking to everybody, the fact that Iran wants Israel gone. Well, that's pretty much been that way all along. It's just the fact that he is able to say it so boldly, so with such a bald face, we want Israel gone. There are a lot of people who want Israel gone. There are a lot of people who want the United States of America gone. What we need to be doing as we think about the Middle East right now is praying specifically for our missionaries. We have evangelical missionaries on the ground among Palestinians, among Israelis, all over the Middle East. We need to be praying for safety, and we need to be praying for effectiveness. Right now is a time in which we have people all over the Middle East who are questioning, what is life about? Is this what life is about, is endless violence, endless hatred, or is there something else? Let's pray that we will have missionaries who will be able to preach to Jews and to Palestinians that there's a Messiah who can bring peace, and that peace can be found by tearing down the dividing wall in the church. Let's pray that we see churches proliferating across the Middle East, even while you have this kind of hatred in the background. A news story today from Reuters just has me scratching my head. There is a man in Australia who is going to jail today because he shot a passerby. And the reason he shot a passerby is he was trying to shoot a cow. He lured the cow to his shed. He took aim with his rifle. He missed. And then he took his rifle and aimed a second time. He fired and he missed again. Now, the real question here is not, should this guy go to jail? It's, if you're that bad of a shot that you can't hit a cow at close range, give it up. Find something else to do, and maybe the judge will suggest that. Target practice as part of his sentencing. In our churches, what goes on in your church when you have someone walking up who says, I really have a problem. I'm depressed. I have a problem. I have a short attention span. I have a problem. I'm married, but I found my soulmate. How do we respond to that? And I'm not just talking about pastors, although pastors are given a responsibility to shepherd the flock of God, but part of the role of a pastor is to equip the saints, to equip all of the saints to be priests to one another, which doesn't just mean praying for one another. It's very easy to say, oh, I'll pray for you on that. It also means admonishing one another, the Apostle Paul says, speaking to one another, and speaking to one another with words of truth that come from the Holy Scripture. How are our churches equipping members to counsel one another? How are pastors counseling people? I'm afraid that right now we have been so sucked into a therapeutic worldview that we've got churches that think that counseling is the job of some paid professional somewhere else. Or even worse, that counseling is the job of some radio therapist or some self-help book. We've got the mind of Christ. We've got a Bible. So how are you counseling people in your churches, in your Sunday school class, in your community? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. When we come back, I'm going to talk to two gentlemen who are calling the church to counsel from the Bible with the Spirit of God. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
My fishing pole's broke, the creek is full of sand. My woman run away with another man. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. I'll never get out of this world alive. And this isn't a show about the rapture. It's a show about stress, about suffering, about sin, about advice, about counseling and counseling within the church. And what I want to know from you is, how are we doing in our churches when it comes to counseling one another? How are we doing in terms of dealing with issues of suffering, decision-making, sin? And I'm not just talking about speaking from the pulpit. I'm talking about addressing one another one-on-one in applying these things. How's the church doing? Let me know how it looks from your part of the world. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You know, one of the things that you might not know about Dr. Mohler, if you listen to this radio show regularly, is Dr. Mohler has an animal named Baxter, the beagle dog, that he is just absolutely in love with. He treats this dog so well. He has pictures of Baxter here in his office, walks that dog every single day. The dog sits next to him while he's writing and while he's preparing for this show. But, you know, Baxter doesn't seem that stressed out to me. But there's a Reuters news report today that says a quarter of all of the dogs in Britain are stressed out. Now, how do you know that? Well, it's because they're prone to vomit or have diarrhea as a result of being stressed. That's 26% of the dogs in Britain. And these experts, pet behaviorists, are saying that 9 out of 10 dogs are stressed because they don't have enough contact with people. Now, I just think that's absurd and ridiculous. How do you know that a dog is stressed out? But it's really no more absurd than some of the things that we see right now in American culture. I just have started seeing all of these ads for restless leg syndrome. If you've got a leg that is restless, you can now go on a medication in order to help you with that leg. Now, it may be that it's a legitimate thing, and those of you who are there twitching in your legs and picking up the phone, don't call me about it. I'm not saying that you have something that's fake. I'm just saying, why have we never noticed people with restless leg syndrome until 2005? And we've got all kinds of people who are claiming to be completely stressed out. What are our churches doing to address these issues? I want you to give me a call at 877-893-TALK, 877-893-8255. Let me know how you think the church is doing when it comes to counsel. I've got with me in the studio today Dr. Stuart Scott, who is professor of biblical counseling at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dr. Randy Stinson, who is professor of gender and family studies at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and also executive director of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. Guys, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes.
Stuart, how's the church doing when it comes to counseling people?
Well, the church overall has in a large degree forfeited its birthright, and that it's farmed out or referred out people that have difficulties with our world would call emotional problems, psychological problems, and usually refers them out of the church for help.
And you don't think that should be happening?
I'm not at all.
So how then would you advise a pastor to start dealing? He says, you know, I just don't have time to start having a flood of people in here talking about, I think that my mother yelled at me too much when I was a child and I'm not sleeping well at night. How would you advise a pastor to go about that?
Well, for one, that is the way in the majority of seminaries they're taught to refer.
Okay.
So in the one class that they have on counseling, in the majority of seminaries, they're actually taught to refer them out.
Mm-hmm.
You're their pastor, they'll tell them, but you're not their counselor. So any counseling issues, refer them out. And so I would help the pastors, and I was there. I mm-hmm. was doing that early on as I was pastoring a church. And what I needed was more training in how the scriptures are used in not only diagnosing our issues that we're struggling with, but also the solution to them is all in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not by the name that the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, will use for a disorder,
mm-hmm.
but the behavior, the heart issues are addressed in scripture. And that I would probably encourage the pastors, that's what I do, encourage them to receive more training with the scriptures on how to help their people.
Mm-hmm. Randy, how do you advise people when they come to see you and they say, I'm just struggling with all kinds of issues, I have all kinds of problems? Well, how do you try to decide what to do when you're giving somebody advice?
Well, first you want to approach it from the scriptures. As Stuart just said a minute ago, I mean, most of these things are dealt with in the scriptures. And one of the things that I've found is missing, particularly in our local churches, is just a lack of direct talk. When people come, they're coming to you and telling you a problem because they want you to help them with a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we undermine the authority of the scriptures and we undermine the authority of the local church when we act as if the Bible or even we ourselves have nothing to say about it. And so there's a very real sense where the thing I think is missing, or one of the things that I do, is first just sit down and say, okay, Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to need to be some change, and here are some ways to do it. And I'm not talking about a lack of compassion,
mm-hmm.
but I'm talking about just a lack of direct, clear talk in these matters.
I think that's exactly right. You have such a lack of direct talk, not only in our one-on-one relationships, but in the pulpit. Mm-hmm. You know, you go
that's
to
right.
a marriage service, and I often feel like I need to get up and go throw up outside during an evangelical wedding service because it sounds like I'm listening to a talk show therapist talking about, oh, you need to communicate with one another in this way. And he's giving all of this simple advice. And I'm thinking, where's Ephesians 5?
Right.
Where's the scripture coming with authority as Jesus gave it to this couple being married? And you see that all along right now, that the newest thing among very young people is blogging, which often is a way to get a message to people that you don't want to confront. So you'll do it on the computer, and you kind of work out all your frustrations speaking to these people on the computer. So what happens when you start giving direct talk to people who aren't used to having direct talk and they get offended?
Yeah.
Stuart?
Well, if they're really seeking help, and that would be a question right there, do they really want help, or you find people who just like to talk about their problems but don't want help?
Mm-hmm.
If they really want help, there is help and hope in the scriptures. I think of the intent of scripture as one not just for salvation, but to actually help them be more like Jesus and walk through the issues of life. As Paul told the Roman believers, that if they were filled with all knowledge, with the knowledge of scripture, and they were practicing that full of moral goodness, that they actually would become competent to help one another.
Well, I think that's a good point, because I think too often in our churches we think that the Bible is there to get people saved and to tell people how to be moral, but we don't think the Bible has anything to do with discipleship. Discipleship means how you're living your life, whether or not you pay the electric bill, how you speak to your wife at night, how you respond to your husband. That's what discipleship is about. And if we don't think the Bible is competent to conform us into the image of Christ, to give us the revelation we need to do that, then what good is it for? I want to know what you think. How's the church doing when it comes to counseling? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we're talking about talk. And not just therapy talk. We're talking about talking to one another with the Word of God. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
When he can't choke down the medicine, the old doc knows. A specialist came to town, but he stays at home, saying no one knows, so I don't, honey, when in Rome.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we've got churches full of sick people. Or at least they think they're sick. All kinds of churches all over America with people saying, I have this disorder, I have that disorder, I can't sit through your sermon because I can't pay attention to it, I can't really love my husband because I have a genetic flaw, I can't really control my temper because I have this disorder, this syndrome, I'm racked with anxiety because I have this genetic flaw. We have all of these sicknesses all over our churches, and often the real problem is we just aren't ministering to one another. That's what I think. I think, yeah, you've got some legitimate medical issues that need to be dealt with medically, but our problem is we're medicalizing everything, and we have churches with pastors and leaders and Sunday school teachers who don't even know how to admonish, how to rebuke, how to encourage, how to give hope, and to give hope from the Bible. I want to know from you, how is your church doing when it comes to this? Don't call and give me a specific report card on your church by name, but how is the church generally doing with counseling one another? We have with us Dr. Stuart Scott and Dr. Randy Stinson, both of whom are part of the new dream team of biblical counseling at Southern Seminary, is really seeking to try to find another way to prepare pastors to deal with these issues. I want to know, how's the church doing? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Michelle on the line from Tampa, Florida, listening on WTBN. Michelle, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you.
What's your thought today?
I just went through about a depression, and I really went to my church about it. I thought that was who I should go to there. I told my family, and then I told my extended family, which is my church, and nobody really knew what to do. So they, again, just sent me out to counseling, and I just felt like they were lost at what to do and wanted to pass it on.
Well, Michelle, how did you overcome the depression issue?
I actually found a Christian counselor. I called New Life, and they found me a Christian counselor, and I've been going to him. And actually, what I really needed to do was talk to someone about my fears, and I've been able to go forward with it.
Mm-hmm. Stuart, if you had Michelle come to you in a church and say, "I'm suffering from depression," what would you do? Would you say you need to go find you a good Christian counselor? Say you're her pastor or her Sunday school teacher? How would you deal with that?
No, I would spend a good bit of time just gathering a lot of information, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of influential factors that could mimic or influence, obviously, depression medically.
Mm-hmm.
So I would want to make sure she had a good medical checkup.
Mm-hmm.
To rule out whether it was thyroid or other
sure.
medical factors.
Postpartum.
That's right. But in the area spiritually, the spiritual area of her life, in the area of depression, it could be a number of factors as well. And it could be the issue of not trusting a God, which sounds like in this situation with the fear.
Mm-hmm.
It could be guilt over sin, guilt of sin, of situations like David in Psalm 32, who was depressed,
mm-hmm.
couldn't sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be different possible avenues you could explore, but it would take a lot of data gathering in a very compassionate, caring way. Once we were able to find out or rule out the medical, and if it was more of the inner man, the spiritual part, I would want to bring a godly woman alongside of her,
mm-hmm.
To help her according to the Titus 2 type of a role of women.
Well, you know, that's part of it is depression. So often our culture acts like that's just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, often the first question you need to ask is, does someone have a reason to be depressed?
Right.
Someone who comes to you and says, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm depressed. My wife just died. That's someone who has real grief that yeah. person is grappling with, and being sad is perfectly normal in that situation.
Right.
Someone else who says, I have nothing going on but good things in my life, but nonetheless I can't sleep. Often that's a deeper spiritual issue, as you say, sometimes a medical issue, but it's not just one syndrome that we need to deal with. What I don't know from you is, how's the church doing when it comes to ministering to people like Michelle? Michelle says, I went to my church and my church didn't have anything to say to me about depression. Would your church be able to handle someone like Michelle? Would you? Would you be able to point Michelle in the right direction to deal with her fears, she says? Or someone who comes grappling with guilt, grappling with shame, grappling with anxiety? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're talking about counseling in the church. I have to tell you, I think our churches are doing a pitiful job when it comes to counseling, and that's the reason why we're sending people out to a bunch of psychobabblers often. Even some of them have Christian hanging out on the shingle outside. Give me a call. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. You know, Tracy Byrd understands something, anyway, that the drinking bone's connected to the being lonely bone. He understands that consequences come when you make choices. And I think that's something that pagan people sometimes understand better than Christian people understand. And so we make choices. These choices often have consequences. And then what we want to do is to try to find some way to explain the consequences without taking responsibility. I think that's part of the problem. Not all of the problem. Please don't say I said it's all the problem. But it's a lot of the problem of what we have going on in our churches. And that's why we need pastors and leaders in our churches who can counsel. And as we talked about a few minutes ago, counsel with direct speech. Speech that is loving. Speech that is truthful, but speech that is direct. I mean, sometimes you've got to be able to say to people, you know what, Ronnie? The problem is you're a drunk. Sometimes you need to be able to say, you know what, Phyllis? The problem is you're a gossip. Sometimes you've got to be able to say these things in order to speak to people, in order to bring to them the solution, which is found in the Word of God. How do you think the church is doing addressing these issues? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have David on the line in Lakeland, Florida on WTBN. David, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. I've got 2 points. One thing is, people want to live in the past and wallow in self-pity. And they don't want to live in the now, and that's the thing. You need to grow up, shut up, and grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And you
well,
know,
I can't wait to hear your second point, David, after that first
Paul,
one.
Paul in Philippians, well, I'm going to give you a scripture verse for that. Paul in Philippians said he forgot all the things. He left them behind, and he pressed onward to the upward call.
Mm-hmm.
I called him to do. Well, he didn't live in the past, and he could have certainly lived in the past with all the things that he went through. I mean, he was flogged 3 times. He was beaten with rods twice. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was stoned once. And he didn't complain and whine about it. He didn't have a phobia about it. He said, I'm forgetting those things. I'm forgetting all that, and I'm pressing on. And that's what we need to do now. We need to live in the now, not live in the past, grow up, and shut up.
All right. Well, Randy Stinson, that sounds like something you and I are saying quite often.
That's right.
Sometimes to each other.
That's right. Well, I mean, what we're what we're seeing here with David's call is at least a partial reaction to the fact that we do live in a culture, and even our churches have bought into this, of the victimization culture, that we're just a victim of everything. We don't take responsibility for a lot of our behaviors. And so while I wouldn't say it necessarily exactly like David has said it, I do think, again, we're reminding ourselves of the fact that what we're talking about here is basic discipleship,
mm-hmm.
Helping one believer helping and bring along another believer. And this is going to involve sitting down and saying, hey, you did this. You shouldn't have done it. Now let's move on to the next step of repentance, trusting in God, acknowledging it as a sin. And so I think, yeah, I think that this is, frankly, I think it's refreshing for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it certainly calls for saying, suck it up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When you have these whining people often who are coming in wringing their hands because they lost an acrylic nail 3 years ago, sometimes that takes saying, yeah, well, just suck it up and
yeah,
grow up.
Yeah.
But What about Stuart? People who, it's not that they've made bad choices, it's that they really have been victims.
Right.
So that we have people in our churches who have suffered abuse, they've suffered unspeakably horrible things, and it's not easy just to say, well, live in the now. How do you help someone kind of move beyond some really terrible things that have happened in the past?
Well, even back there when Paul in Philippians 3 said, forgetting what lies behind, he wasn't talking about your total past, but your reliance on works righteousness in that context. Sometimes people do have to deal with some issues in their past where they've been guilty. They need to confess that, as Randy mentioned, and repent of that. But where they've been sinned against, and sometimes very abusive situations, that God does bring comfort through His Word. But the deepest questions should not be the pain and hurt. The deepest questions ought to be, how does that affect my worship of God? Have I been worshiping myself or something else? Or will this help me to actually go more into the area of worshiping God in truth and in spirit? And so in a compassionate, loving way, to help them get beyond the blame shifting and what people have done, to how will this help me be more like Jesus?
Well, I think a lot of that has to start in the pulpit, just in terms of how we define biblical words like forgiveness.
Yeah.
Because the people in our congregations often think forgiveness means, oh, it's okay, I know you didn't mean it. Yeah. When really what forgiveness means is, I am not going to take vengeance on you because I know that there's a just God who will settle this score either through the cross or through eternal condemnation at the judgment seat. And so I'm trusting that God's going to do just and He's going to deal with you justly. That's what forgiveness is, not, oh, don't worry about it, everything's great. That needs to come from the pulpit. We have Richard on the line, listening in Washington, D.C. Richard, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. A couple different points, and one thing I can kind of add, just a comment to what you were just talking about. I think it was Psalm 16 that teaches us that our plate has been set, our cup has been set, that the lines have been drawn for us in pleasant places. And this is one thing that comforts me every day. A couple of years ago, I was diagnosed with Meniere's disease. I'm a pilot. I had a career I was working on as a commercial pilot. You cannot be a pilot and have an inner ear disease that gives you vertigo. My pastor had been absolutely incredible with problems between that and problems in the family. Had always availed himself. The congregation was absolutely incredible, and I really miss that church because we've moved. And I wish more churches and congregations were like that particular one, because our pastor always availed himself, been there for myself and my wife for advice, scripturally based advice, and very true. And he was an extremely young pastor, too, a very new and very young pastor. And, you know, it is one thing that really absolutely reinforced, just rock solid, anchored Christ and the Word in our lives. You know, I wish it was easy to get, you know, a time zone to go visit, you know, go to church there.
Well, that's a good testimony, Richard. Many people need churches and pastors, even pastors who say, I'm not necessarily sure I know exactly what to say right now, but I've got a scripture that speaks to this. We're talking about counseling in the church. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Shiny, happy people. That's what we expect to find in our churches. Everybody happy, nobody with the blues, even if we have to drug ourselves to do it. But we have churches full of unhappy people, and how are we dealing with that in terms of counseling? That's what we're talking about today with Dr. Stuart Scott and Dr. Randy Stinson, both of whom are on the Biblical Counseling faculty at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, training pastors to counsel and to counsel from the Bible. We have Bill on the line. Bill, very quickly, what's your thought today?
I think that Christian counseling is certainly needed, and especially from pastors, but I'm wondering to what extent do we ask pastors to do too much? We want them to preach, to teach, to visit, to be in meetings, and then also to counsel. At what point do we burn them out?
All right. Good question, Bill. Stuart, what do you think about that?
Well, one of the obligations, really, of ministry, of just being a qualified shepherd, is actually to tend the flock, which will involve some counseling. And having been there and pastored for numerous years, what a pastor will need to do is it will do some counseling, but also to train others, as Ephesians 4:11 says, to actually help equip some of the people in the congregation to come alongside and counsel others as well, and not to do it all, but to equip others to help. And so that may help as far as the answer to this question, not to be involved in 40 hours of counseling,
right?
But to do some, because that's part of tending the flock.
Yeah, and if you have a larger church, as the church is growing larger, you're going to need more pastors within that congregation, some of whom are specifically given over to the task of counseling. But what we don't need are more counseling guys.
Right.
By which I mean people who have a therapeutic calling. They speak in therapy language, and they see themselves not as pastors and not as ministers, but they see themselves as some type of mental health professional within the churches. What we need are pastors and leaders and women who are trained to minister to women, who are able to do that from the Word of God, who are able to do that with the authority of Christ Himself, not because they have some type of hidden authority, but because they have the mind of Christ. It's not floating around out there. It's breathed out in the words of the Holy Scripture. If you're unhappy, if you're depressed, turn to the Word of God right now. See what Jesus has to say. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.